in each section of this area of prayer. And last week we talked together about what it means to refer to God as Heavenly Father. We recognized that what the Bible is telling us is we worship a God who is the creator of everything. He is a heavenly God. That means that everything that's around you, everything you can see, everything humanity can perceive and more is a result of God who said, "Let there be light." And this phenomenal, incredible God who not only made everything, but made each thing specifically, each person individually, and knows who we are, invites us to call Him Father. A heavenly God who allows us to be His children. And that's the first phrase. Today I want us to talk about the second phrase of our simple prayer. And I want to ask you the question, what do you think the Lord wants to hear from His people most when they pray a simple prayer? What is it you think God wants to hear from His people? If we believe what the Bible teaches us, one of the most important things that God wants to hear is simply this: I trust You. Lord, I trust You. In every area of my life, I trust You. Whatever may be going on around me, I trust You. Lord, I trust You. It's what God wanted to hear from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's why He gave them a single tree and said, "Don't eat from that." What did He want to hear? He wanted them to say, "Lord, I don't know what makes this tree so special. I don't recognize why there should be this one place that I'm supposed to stay away from. But I think the reason the Lord put it there was so that the first two people on earth would be able to say, Lord, I don't know all that's going on here, but I trust You, and I will stay away." Unfortunately, they failed the test, but not everybody did. There came that point when the Lord told Noah, "I want you to trust Me. I want you to build an ark." And here was this man who had never seen a body of water, who never recognized any need for any kind of boat, much less one of the dimensions that the ark was. And Noah said, "I will trust You, even though I don't know everything about what I'm doing. I will trust You." It was the hardest decision Abraham ever had to make when the Lord told him, "Go up on the mountain and sacrifice your son, the son of promise." And Abraham prayed, "I will trust You, even when my heart is breaking. I'll trust You." David declared the Lord was his shepherd, and in praying that, David was saying, "I trust You to take care of me and meet my every need." And on the cross, Jesus Himself prayed the ultimate prayer of trust when He said, "Into Your hands I commend my spirit." No wonder the second phrase of simple prayer after Heavenly Father is, "I trust You." When prayer is effective, it's because you've made a personal encounter and experience with the Lord a priority in your life. So this morning I want to talk about what trusting prayer looks like. When you're willing to begin by saying, "Lord, I trust You," and then follow that by saying, "These are the things I'm surrendering into Your hands," what does it mean? Well, let's talk about that for a little while this morning. And first thing I want you to see is this: trusting prayer is based on a relationship. One of the things that's true, if you hold the Lord at arm's length, you can't trust Him the way you should. If you say, "Lord, I acknowledge that You're there. I recognize Your word is truth. I realize Your son died on a cross, but I don't want to get too close to You." I know what happens when people get too close to you. You begin to interfere with their lives. You begin to call on them to do things they might not want to do. You begin to get a little too involved with folks. So I want you to know that I know You're there. Keep your distance from me. Then you're never going to be able to trust Him, not the way you should. You can't trust God from arm's length. A rich relationship makes a trusting relationship possible. Listen, all genuine trust emerges from personal experience. We saw an example of that just a while ago when Kristen was here with our children. And you had that bag and you were holding it open and you said, "Will you reach your hand in there?" And they would. Why? Because they know who you are. Because they've had experience with you. Because they recognize there's probably not a squirrel at the bottom of this bag. And so they were willing to do what you asked them to do. Because that happens. When you have a relationship with someone, you trust them. Very seldom are you going to meet someone and at that very first encounter say, "You know what? I have decided I will trust you." You trust someone because they have shown themselves faithful again and again and again and again. Just like the Lord has done in our lives. How many times have we found Him faithful? How many times have we turned to Him and trusted Him and said, "I discovered I can trust you." You see, a trusting faith doesn't declare, "I know who you are." A trusting faith says, "I know you." It's not just, "I know who you are." It's, "I know you." Had the most interesting opportunity this past week. All of us did. As we were watching television and we saw the funeral service of President Carter. And every living president and vice president was together in one place as that funeral began to take place. And I sat and I watched them on television and I remembered who each one of them were. I remembered when they served and who they served alongside of. I remembered some of the things that took place while they were in leadership, some of the things that they sought to accomplish. And I thought, you know, I can look at this group and I know who they are. What I can't say about any of them is, "And I know him. I know her. I know them personally. I don't know any of them." I had an experience with Sam a few months back. We were in Tuscaloosa and we were walking into a store and we passed this guy. And after we passed, he turned around and said, "Isn't that so-and-so, a politician?" And I said, "Well, how about that? I guess it was." Didn't pay any attention to him walking by. You know why? I don't know him. It didn't seem to upset him that I didn't tell him hello. If you can't say, "I know somebody," it doesn't matter if you can say, "I know about them." And simple prayer is based on the fact that God has given you the privilege of knowing Him in a first-person relationship. When we call Him Heavenly Father, what we're saying is, "I'm on a first-person relationship with you." Not long ago, someone asked my daughter to have her father pray for a special need that was going on in their life, and I was glad to do that. But later, when things turned out well, this friend said to Bethany, "I knew things were going to be okay because your dad's prayers reach higher than mine do." Well, that's flattering. It's just not true. Not one person in this room would look at me and say, "I know your prayers get closer to God than mine do, because after all, you get to stand behind the pulpit every Sunday." No. Each one of us says to the Lord, "I trust you." And He listens just as carefully and personally to every one of us than He does anybody else. From the youngest to the oldest, from those who have only been Christians for just a little while to those who have been Christians for many years, God listens to us all. And He answers our prayers. And when you know Him and you trust Him, nobody's prayers reach higher than your own. I love the promise of Hebrews 4:16 where the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need." When he says, let us come boldly, he's speaking to each one of us. And he says, not only can you come to God, you can come to God boldly, confidently, knowing there's going to be a welcome, knowing he's going to recognize who you are, knowing he's going to know you by name, knowing that he knows what's going on in your life, and you can come to him, and you can talk to him, and you can seek mercy, and you can look for grace, and it's going to be there when you belong to Christ Jesus. Simple prayer means understanding you have an express lane to the Lord himself. He wants you to come with confidence because you know him and you trust him with simple trust. We also need to know that trusting prayer is not conditional. So many people may be frustrated in their prayer life because they seek to pray, if you, then I, prayers. You know what I mean? If you give me what I want, then I will trust you. If you do things my way, then I will trust you. If things turn out the way I expect them to, then I will trust you. In other words, what we're saying is, I'm willing to trust God as long as I get to remain in the driver's seat. I'm willing to trust God as long as I understand what's going on and things are going my way. And as long as the Lord proves he's there and that he's listening and that he will give me anything I want, I will trust him. Here's the problem with an if you then I kind of prayer. God is always on trial in your life. God is always on trial. God, as long as you give me what I want my way, I'll trust you. But if there ever comes a time when I don't understand what's going on, and if there ever comes a time when I am disappointed, and if there comes a time when my heart is broken, I'm not going to trust you anymore. It's going to be a deal breaker with me. But what God is looking for are people who will say to him, I trust you no matter what. No matter what. I depend on you. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? Well, here's the key. It means trust comes before the evidence. Trust comes before you can see what God will do. So you don't say to the Lord, first I want to see the evidence, and then I'll trust you. You know, we're inclined to do that, aren't we? Someone says to us, you know, I really love you, and you want to say, well, where's the present? Where's the evidence? The Lord says, trust comes first, and then you see the evidence of his faithfulness. Trust is not based on what the Lord does. Trust depends on who the Lord is. And simple prayer is based on the character of God. Lord, I recognize you are trustworthy. I realize you are loving. I know what you do is right. I will trust you. Not because of the stuff or the circumstances. I will trust you because, God, you and you alone are the most trustworthy being in all the world. And you're the most trustworthy person in my own life. I'll trust you before I see the evidence. I love the story of Jesus and the centurion that's found in the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew. You remember that? A Roman centurion came to Jesus as he was teaching a crowd, and he asked him to come. He was on behalf of his suffering servant. He had a servant at home, and he was at the verge of death, and he said, I just need you to heal him. And Jesus tells him, I will come and heal him. But the soldier responds, and this is what he says. He says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Lord, you don't have to come. I don't have to see the evidence. All I have to know is that you have promised that you will act. And Jesus turned to the people around him, crowds of people. Some of them were religious leaders. And this is what he said. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And then he told this Roman soldier, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And here's the astounding thing. And Matthew tells us it wasn't until he was almost home that the word came, "Your servant has been healed." He trusted God before he could see that God was trustworthy. He believed what the Lord had promised him, even though it wasn't before his own eyes. You know what you call that? Trust. Simple trust. Praying with trust means believing God will do the right thing in the right way at the right time. You may not always understand, but it doesn't affect your faith, because your faith is not on what you see. The faith is in who you serve. I will trust him unconditionally. You see, trusting prayer is expressed through personal reliance. You pray not because you need God to do something in addition to what you can do. Simple prayer means relying on God to do what you cannot do without him. Simple prayer that says, "I trust you," is not saying, "Lord, I'll rely on you when I get to the end of my own strength." It is saying, "Lord, I rely on you because I recognize I'm not strong enough to begin with." I like the way Jared Wilson expresses it. This is what he says. "When Christians live sluggish Christian lives, it's not because they don't have enough of God, but because they have too much of themselves." It's not because they don't have enough of God. It's because they have too much of themselves. And they're too inclined to rely on self rather than Savior. That's strong, isn't it? It's not that you need more of Jesus. It's that he wants all of you. And he wants you before you depend upon yourself. When you pray, "I trust you," you're depending on God to step into your life in ways that matter most. When you pray, "I trust you," what are you really praying? Well, you're praying for wisdom. You're praying for guidance. You're praying for hope and for healing. You're praying for empowerment. You're praying for intervention. You're praying for God to be actively involved in your life. And different times and different ways, you'll need to express that in your simple prayer. But at the bottom of it all is, "Lord, I trust you, so I'm asking for help. Lord, I trust you, I'm asking for hope. Lord, I trust you because I'm asking for leadership. Lord, I trust you, so I'm asking for wisdom. Lord, I trust you, so I'm depending on you for everything, because Lord, I already know I don't have it in myself. I've got to depend upon you." That means your prayers may be simple, but they're not superficial. You're asking, "Lord, help me to trust you in heart-deep, life-empowering ways." You're trusting God in the deepest place of your life. And that's what he calls on us to do. And most of all, we need to know this. And trusting prayer is God's condition for salvation. One of the most famous simple prayers in the Bible is found in Luke 18:13, where a sinful man bows before God and prays, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." One sentence that that changed a life for eternity. Lord, be merciful to me. Salvation is about trusting Jesus Christ to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. To forgive your sins. To come into your life. To grant you everlasting life. It's a simple prayer. You may need to pray it today. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, I need you. Will you save me? Lord, forgive me. I need to be changed. It's a simple prayer, but it is a necessary prayer. Because if you have not prayed that prayer, then you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. To know Him is to simply bow before Him and to say, I need what only You can give. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. I need everlasting life. Are you here today? And that's the simple prayer that you need to pray. A simple prayer of faith that allows you to come into a relationship with Jesus that will last for all of eternity. If so, in just a minute when we stand and when we sing our invitation hymn, if you want to come here and simply say, today is the day when I need to trust Jesus, I'll be glad to meet you right here in this place. Maybe there are other simple choices you need to make. Maybe the Lord is calling you to become a part of First Baptist Church because this is where you want to love Him and this is where you want to serve Him. Maybe God's dealing with you about a very specific thing in your life and you just need somebody to pray with you. You come, I'll be glad to pray with you. Maybe there's another choice. We're going to stand, we're going to sing our invitation hymn. As God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together. It's been a good day in God's house. I'm glad that we got out. I'm glad that the snow came and the snow went and God's people got to gather in the warmth of God's house. And we look forward to tonight, 5 o'clock. Encourage you to be. We will be in the fellowship hall. We'll stay in the fellowship hall. We'll have Bible study. We're going to have our second Sunday snack supper. It's going to be a great time. We look forward to seeing you then. Let's bow together for a final prayer. And then one last song. Father, we do thank You that we trust You. and you do exactly what is right, and you do it exactly the right way, and you guide us all along the way. Father, thank you that what you call for from your people is simple trust. And we do. We trust you and we thank you for all the ways you are faithful in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What am I to do?